You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, the heart cry of the people is to send revival. And I was listening to a message earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and began to share about what Paul must have felt like when he was praying, if he only knew people thousands of years would be reading his letters. And he prayed that their eyes or their understanding would be opened. He didn't pray, "Lord, send revival. Lord, we pray, send revival. Bring that great awakening in our services, in a move or a surge in the church." And yet Jesus hadn't left the church. Amen. That anointing is so evident in our service today. How many just sense that anointing in the service? The power of God is in this place. God has a desire and a design and a plan for each one of us in each of our life. But we've got to be sensitive to the move of God. I think too often we just want to press on, or we want to get to our destination, and we don't stop and have a little selah time. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can be too busy. We can get wrapped up in the things of even doing good, get too busy to slow down, and we're just passing God. He's standing there going, "I want to give you something. I want to pour out into you. I want to impart something." And we're just being busy. And God says, "Just slow down. Seek my face. Seek my face. Get alone with me. Slow down. Turn everything off. Get away from the distractions." Boy, it's awesome. You know, we turn the lights down low and the worship began to lift up and all the distractions kind of left, and you're not looking around at anyone in the room. The Spirit of the Lord is just able to stir in our hearts. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants to put the blinders on. When you get before His face, put the blinders on and says, "I'm going to turn the cell phone off." Boy, in today's society, this is a cell phone society. I got out of my truck the other day, and I was with a young man in the church, and I was running into the store, and I set my cell phone down in the dash, right up in the cubicle. He looked at me, he says, "You're not carrying that with me?" I said, "I'm just going into the store." The younger generations, it's almost a disease, text messaging. Amen. They're text messaging going to the restroom. We were out of town coming out, and some of my nieces came walking out of the bathroom, steadily text messaging. God says, "Slow down." Some of you businessmen, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're so busy. Housewives, I mean, you think that's an easy job, and you're running here and you're running there. You're just getting the tasks done that have to be done that day. And God says, "Spend some time with me. Slow down. Have a little selah time. Have a little stop and think about that." See, our cry and our heart's cry, and this is a cry from the church. I really believe that we're seeing a hunger from the people of God that are saying, "I want more of God. I want more of the presence of God. I want more of what you have to offer." And God said, "I've got it. I've got a well to pour out inside of you. But you're going to have to slow down a little bit and let me do a work inside of you." God wants to create something brand new out of each one of us. He wants to create a powerhouse for His glory. He wants to pour out His glory. Sometimes we get dry and we get parched in our own spiritual life. We're coming to church. We're immediately headed out to church. We've got other jobs to do. Sometimes even in the necessity of life, our ox has fallen in the ditch, even on Sunday, and we don't even take that time to slow down and spend the time with the Lord, because even during service time, our mind is racing on all the things that are about to come up this next week. And yet God says, "You're missing it. You're missing it. Slow down." Church, I'm going to tell you this morning, slow down. Slow down. God wants to do some great things. The anointing and the revival, the great awakening is here. And we are living, we are the church that's living in the greatest hour of history. The greatest hour of history. We are the church where the anointing is being poured out. We are with better covenant, with a better promise today. But we've just got to let the Lord just fill us up, soak us up, and then begin to spill out. Amen. Lord, I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing. Amen. We're running on the reserve. The bells, the dinger on our gas gauge is already dung a long time ago. We're looking up to see the bottom in our spiritual life many times. And listen, I'm just saying slow down. If you find yourself in that situation, you find yourself depleted. Why can't I feel the fire? Why can't I feel the anointing? People are talking about it. Why can't that happen to me? And yet I'm saying this morning, it can. It can. God's not off. God's not picking and choosing. He's not pouring out His Spirit upon this one and leaving this one undone. No, He's poured His Spirit out upon this earth. Jesus said this, I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and He will lead and guide you. Not only will He be with you, but He shall be in you. We are in that day and that hour where we're supposed to be revived, where the anointing of God is filling us through and through, and we're to walk in that power, walk in that anointing, walk in the realm of the supernatural. Amen. We talk about the supernatural, and oftentimes we're afraid to bring it up because of the ridicule that people are going to think we're something special. Church, it's time that we shake that mentality off and quit thinking that way. When you go into the grocery store and somebody says they're sick in their body, be quick to pray. Let's pray. You need a miracle? Let's pray. Amen. Well, if you'll come to my church, they have a prayer line at the front at a such and such a time. If you happen to get there, you're welcome to come. We'll pray for you. Would you remember me in prayer? We'll pray for you. Stop it. That you've just missed an opportunity for impartation. The greatest way you're going to see the Holy Ghost moving in your life is it's got to start moving through your life. It's got to start moving through your life. Church, we got to get active. We got to get active in the things of God. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 51. Kind of like Pastor Mike when he says he gets up and just kind of preaches on the overflow. I had several messages for you this morning, and I said, Lord, which one do you want me to preach? Where do you want me to start? And as both words are awesome. They're awesome. But the way the Holy Ghost is flowing in the service, we need to catch a hold of this. Isaiah 51, verse 1 says, hearken to me. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Boy, hearken unto me. Listen to me. Stop and listen to me. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we giving our ear to? Are we giving our ear to the wrong people, the wrong input? Are we giving our ear to what the Lord says? Well, I know just from the short years of pastoring, and now we've been pastoring over there for 9 years. Doesn't seem like that long, but we've been away from here. But just in the short years of pastoring over in Greenville, I have found that people are very opinionated. I know you'd have a hard time believing that. I don't care what it is that we're going to do, what it is. All the way down to carpet color. We've been remodeling a nursery over there, one side of one nursery, one side of it, and they're making it a Garden of Eden scenery. And we first when we first started talking about remodeling, people started giving their opinions. What I finally had to find one person and says, okay, you're in charge of the nursery. People come to me and says, hey, I think we should do this. I said, have you seen that person? Don't talk to them. Say, that's passing the buck. No, that's delegation. I got more to think about than the color that we're going to put in the nursery. Anybody tells you that the pastor's wife, her opinion doesn't matter? Let me tell you something. I'm going to find out what Tammy wants. My wife, she's not here to even, you know, I talk about her in church too, just so I can do it here as well. She's not here to defend herself. But I always say good things. Always. I always say, what? We're going to pray about it. When somebody asks me something, we're going to pray about it. What do you think, Tammy? Because I know if she's not on board with it, we got to be on board. We got to flow together. Say, I'm not going to sweat the small things. See, we got a world out there that needs Jesus. They need Jesus. I'm going to rest in the presence of God. So we began to talk, and they began to share some different things and different ideas of where they believe the church is going to go. And I shared with them, I said, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to ask God to, you know, to make the vision clear, different direction, different areas of where we're going and what we're doing. And then we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. That's the final word, church. Are you one of those pastors that's dominating? No. I'm the most, next to Pastor Mike, I'm the easiest pastor to work with. Really. I'm real easy. You know, I'm a softy. I really am. And, but we're going to listen to what God wants us to do. What does God want to do? You know, our prayer before every service is, well, we want the Holy Ghost to flow. We want whatever the Spirit of the Lord wants to do in the service. And oftentimes, my idea of what's going to take place in a service kind of molds and changes and goes a different direction. I'm going to stay with God. He says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Notice that word hole. He says, look at the hole. No, look where you come from. Look what's left behind. God has created something wonderful inside of you. And in order to create something inside of you, it's left a hole. It's left a hole behind you. He says, look at that hole. God wants to fill that hole. God's not into destruction. God's not out to destroy. It's not a win-lose situation. It's a win-win with God every time. God wants you to win, and all the things, all the aftermath behind you is blessed. When you go into a city or you go into a town or you go into a room and your presence has been there and you left, you didn't leave those people destructed. You left them blessed. He says, whence you are hewn in the hole of the pit, whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So that's the heart of God. God puts a call on our life. How many know He's called all of us? The Mark 16:15 says, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the Great Commission. We all are mandated under the Great Commission to preach the gospel, preach the good news of the gospel. He's called us all. Well, He's called Pastor Mike. He's called Brother Chris. Dr. Burr, he's called those guys to get up and to preach the gospel. No, he's called all of us. He's called us all to do a work, to do a service for Him. Well, Lord, you know I can't go all over the world. I've got a job to do right here. I've got a family. I've got kids in school. There's no way I could go all over the world. Well, your world may be right where you are. We had a missionary from Ghana, West Africa, just a few weeks ago in the service, and I took him out to lunch, and we began to share and just visit with each other. And he began to talk to me about all the missionaries coming from Africa over to America. My jaw dropped at that. You know, I'm thinking America's the one that sends out all the missionaries. We're the Christian nation. We're the ones that's sending out trying to spread the gospel to all the world. I mean, growing up, I remember hearing, "Lord, please send me anywhere but not Africa." And now I'm getting word that Africa is sending missionaries to America. God's raising up people all over, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. God's raising up people. Hungry hearts. People are coming alive for Jesus. He says, "I've called him alone, I've blessed him and increased him." Well, I tell you, anytime God blesses you, he increases you. I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the smarts, I don't have the intelligence, I don't have the charisma that somebody else has. I don't have the ability. Where God says, when he blesses you, he increases you. Can you say amen? Amen. Increases in what area? Whatever area you need. Where are you deficient? What do you lack? Where are you short? What is your shortcomings? Well, see, you've got the blessing of God. Because you've got the blessing of God, he will increase you. And he wants to increase you for a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, "He wants to increase me." Look at your other neighbor and say, "For a purpose." God wants to increase us for a purpose. He says, "For the Lord," verse 3, "shall comfort Zion," that's the church. "He will comfort all her waste places." He will comfort all her waste places. Church, as much as we'd like to think about it, this is not the oasis. This is not the final destination, but this is here where we are right now. And if you walk out of these doors today, you drive into town, you're going to find people that are hurting, that are destitute. You're going to find people that need Jesus. They're wounded, they're scarred, they're marred. They just need Jesus. They need the healer. They need that balm of Gilead that's pouring through your life into their life. They just need a word, a spoken word that will become a rhema word in their life. And it's going to come through you. It's going to come because you're going to open up and you're going to begin to share the things of God. He says that you're going to comfort all her waste places and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Boy, the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine what the garden was like back in Adam and Eve's day? How wonderful it was. Oh, to walk with God in the cool of the day. How wonderful that was. You know, the garden we think of is an oasis. It's a beautiful place, but I don't know if you've ever worked a garden before. I'm preaching right now in a country town. I'm assuming there's some gardeners in here. Anybody a gardener? Anybody ever in your life worked a garden? A couple of you. Most of you. Or you've been around or you've watched mom and daddy work in the garden. Some of the younger crowd. Well, I know my grandma and my grandpa, they had a garden. It's not easy to work in a garden, but I tell you what, it is good for you. It's good food. It's a good blessing to get food right off the vine, get fruit right off the vine, get vegetables right off the vine. To have a garden, it's wonderful. God says, in the waste places, I'm going to put a garden. I'm going to create a garden. But I want you to notice what he says. He says, you're going to bring a garden. Through you, that garden experience is going to be manifested in the waste places. Me? Little old me? Yeah, you. God's calling you to bring a garden back to the waste places. I mean, you're talking to someone on your job. I mean, they're foul, they're filthy, they're just, you know, everything coming out of their mouth is filth, foul, whatever. And God has placed you there and you're saying, well, this is my cross to bear. This is what I've got to do. No, God says, we're going to change the situation. You're not just there. It's not by accident where you are. God has placed you there. in a waste place to change the environment, to change the surrounding. You're there for a purpose and a reason to bring back that garden experience for those people so they too can walk with God, so they too can experience the things of God. He says, His wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I tell you what, wherever there is a garden, wherever there is the presence of God, there you're going to find joy. There you're going to find thanksgiving. There you're going to find the peace of God. I tell you what, there is where people really want to be. The old hee-haw song about misery on end, you know, gloom, despair, and misery on end. That is not where people want to be. You say, well, no, they love misery, and misery loves company, and that's just where they want to be. No, I tell you what, they want somebody to throw in a lifeline. It's too easy to say, you know, well, they made their bed, so let them sleep in it. Turn your nose at them. They need Jesus. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. People need Jesus. The hardest person that you can ever imagine. I didn't know Brother Fred B.C., but I heard Brother Fred's story many times. You know, blesses me. Pastor Mike always talked about Brother Fred in his former days. Now, many of you come to church here and you may not know Brother Fred's story. All you know is, oh, that's that man full of joy bouncing back there on the conga drums. I mean, what's better, bouncing around on the conga drums? Amen. Letting the light of God shine. God. If God can change Fred, He can change anybody. Amen. Was that true, brother?
That's true.
Is that true?
Yes.
You believe that?
I believe.
If God can change you,
yes.
Has God changed you?
God's
done a work in his life. Now see, if God can do that for one, He can do it for another. We were all lost and undone. We were all needing a Savior. Well, I've never done anything wrong. I've never said a curse word. I've never drank any alcohol. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never done this. I've never done that. I've never been a bad person. Listen, if you do not know Jesus, you're lost and undone. You need a Savior. You need Jesus. Jesus wants to create a garden out of you. And He's called us all to bring that garden, to bring it into to where they are. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 33. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give you just a moment to get there. Ezekiel chapter 36, begin reading verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it.
Amen.
I want to read something to you, and we're going to come back and comment on that. A few months ago, a prophetic word came through our prayer time. And at the time, it was good, but I just didn't see the impact like I see it today and what I'm seeing in the church. A prophetic word said, can you hear it, son? Can you hear the sound of the multitudes? The sound of millions of voices crying for help. This is the voice of my church, my bride, crying for union with me. I long for this union, but she has not made herself ready. She has become dry and parched, soiled with the affairs and attractions of this age. Her ground is cracked and dry, filled with all kinds of unclean things that seek to inhabit the ground during times of no rain. The things of compromise, self-importance, self-promotion have filled her soul and dried her up. She's been distracted from me, the very source of rain and nourishment. Can you hear the sound of rain in the trees? I'm moving to bring moisture and deliverance to my bride, that she may examine her ways and begin to make herself ready. And I'm going to wash her in the rain of my presence by the word of the Lord and bring times of cleansing to the very object of my affection, my church, my bride. I have already moved in her with times of refreshing, and with these rains of refreshing announce the change of seasons for her. These are times in which I long to get her attention off of herself and the world around her and get her attention upon me. These times are the very release of my desire upon her, son, the very flower in my hand representing my desire for her to pay attention to me. Times that will allow me to woo and court her, these will be times of saturation, which will purify the ground of her soul, that she may be free of anything that distracts or promotes itself, representing itself as God. These are times when I will free my bride from social idolatry that has so enamored her with others and not purification. I myself will deal with these things through the manifestation of my spirit and the preaching of my word that I have placed in the hearts of my servant. I am moving to respond to the cry of my bride, a cry for relief. I will increase her, my son, with the increase of myself within her, for it's only through my influence and presence that she will experience true increase and holiness. Times of floods are coming, my son, a flood of my outpouring that will move through the saturated ground of my church, a flood that will sweep away all that is not rooted and grounded in me, yet by its very nature establish what is rooted and grounded in me. For only that which is rooted and grounded in me shall endure the flood. Can you hear it, son? Can you hear the cry of the lost and the destitute of all the nations, crying for the desire of the nations to come? These know me not and will not know me until the knowledge of my presence flows like water through the saturated ground of my church and floods the world with a living witness in my goodness and in my glory. There's a cry in this world. They're hungry. They are ready for the gospel. They are ready to receive what God has for him. He says this, "And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are becoming fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that the Lord build the ruined places and plant that which is desolate, and the Lord have spoken it, and I will do it." God will do what he's commanded. God says he has placed you in the waste places, in the desolate places, not for them to stay desolate, not for them to stay waste, but that you might create a garden of Eden, a place where God dwells, a place where they can walk with God again. Church, it's time that we rise up, that you catch the call, that you catch the vision, and say, "God, I know you've used them, but Lord, use me. Use me to bring about your glory."